you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good afternoon and welcome to the Senior Hour, which is sponsored by Comfort Keepers in Home Care, Providence Holy Cross Medical Center, and Hestia Med Spa. I'm Barbara Cochran with my co-host,
Dr. Jean Doria,
on your hometown station, 98.1 FM, AM 1220 KHTS. This is a show for, about, and by seniors, giving information to enhance one's quality of life. And our first guest this afternoon is George Brown from Ulrich Lifestyle Structures. Good to have you here.
Good to be here, Barbara.
Yes.
Welcome.
Two Brits. Or where are you from? Yes. You're Australia?
New Zealand.
Oh, my gosh.
New Zealand.
Well, that's pretty close.
It's close.
The same voice. Can we say that?
You can.
Yes.
A little bit more subtle and gentle than the Australians.
But under the same king.
Yes, that's right.
Absolutely. My goodness. Yeah,
we all have that background.
Yeah. We were talking about Queen Elizabeth not too long ago. And being a little girl and going in, and she's turning around to me and saying, "Well, hello." She was, I think, 14 years old then. Yes. Anyway.
Wow.
What is Ulrich Lifestyle Structures? It sounds very interesting.
Well, like its name suggests, we produce all sorts of structures for backyard use, from backyard offices, backyard gymnasiums, she sheds, man caves, workshops. So there's a whole raft of different structures that we produce. So it's not just sheds. We also do sheds, of course.
Yes, but you do a little houses.
Did you mention granny homes?
Yes, we also do sell structures that people convert into sleepover, you know, for additional space for somebody to use to stay in temporarily.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Now, do these little houses have sinks and bathrooms and showers and things like that?
Well, we don't install those. That's left up to the owner to decide what they want to do and how they want to finish it out.
But you don't finish it out for them?
Not to that extent, no.
So they have to find their own person, or are you able to find them?
Yes. Yeah, we can help them. Yeah. You know, find some a contractor who can help them, because it's enough to design a structure for the customer. It's another thing to take it to that next level, to try and work out what sort of appliances or equipment that they want to put in there. So it gives them the flexibility to be able to choose the sort of heating air conditioning unit, for example, right, that they wish to put in or not. And also the bathroom, there's many different options they can choose from.
Right.
Well, George, let me ask you this, though. When you've decided and said, and, you know, especially on the senior hour, we kind of want to know about granny homes. Does it take special licensing or permits for us to be able to place a granny home in our yards?
Good question. The answer to that really is dependent upon the size to begin with. Anything that is over 120 square feet, a 10 by 12 or 8 by 15, under California code, requires a permit. Even if it's just for storage, right? Just a storage shed still requires a permit over that size. And we're able to help the customer. We can assist with the permitting process and, you know, producing plans and drawings to submit to the city.
Interesting. Well, my neighbor across the street She chose to have her incapacitated son live on their property, not in their home. So they didn't want him living in a room up above somewhere. And they felt it was safer for him, and at least they were there if anything happened. But they purchased one of those little houses. It has a small shower, very small shower, very short, small bathroom, a very small kitchen area. And then there was a bed that turned back into a couch and had a little sort of table, very small, and a TV on the wall. And when he wanted to fix food, he could fix food in this tiny little house, in this tiny kitchen, and eat in the living room. And it's been an absolute lifesaver for him. It really has. And then he has someone come over and make sure things go right. They take him to a job and that kind of thing. And they pretty much stay with him 24/7. And at least the parents don't have to worry about him anymore.
Well, just in LA County alone, there is over 50 cities, and they each have their own rules and codes for accommodation, or for space for what they call habitable space, and so that then becomes a lot more complex. There's a lot of businesses who specialize in putting together the whole unit. They tend to be very expensive, and even a very small one can start well over $100,000. And so where we kind of fit into it is by providing a structure that allows our customers to fit out or complete to suit their taste, because everybody has a different view of how they want to see the actual inside of the structure finished.
Oh, that's very interesting. So they can have this accommodation then.
Correct. I mean, they can, you know, it comes back to the internal lining, and as far as the permitting goes, there is there's a lot of differences between having a backyard office with a bathroom in it, or that same structure that is habitable space. There are different codes, even though it could be identical structure. And so there are a lot of variables in that. So we leave it up to the... We will help. We'll get the permit for the structure. But beyond that point of actually completing the interior, that really is up to the customer to decide. Having the structure there is 80%, right?
Yeah,
of the whole, and having a permitted structure there. That the rest of it, it comes down to personal preference.
Right.
Everybody has their own taste, how they want it finished. We also do not do drywall, for example, in our structures.
Mm-hmm.
We have other options because our structures, we build them in the factory as a complete unit. We also build on site, so we can take a structure and send out a team to actually build it on site. So whilst in the factory, what we call a truck delivery unit, we can actually do line it out. And we do have different lining options. And the reason we don't do drywall is because we can't transport that, because drywall, by its very nature, will simply disintegrate.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So the sort of the internal linings that we use are hard substrate. So they're very hard materials.
Very strong.
Very strong. And that's not everyone's cup of tea, right? So it's kind of, you know, giving the customer the option or allowing them or helping guide them for, finding a local contractor who can help them do that finish out work.
Interesting. Now, did you start this in New Zealand?
No. This company was started over 30 years ago in Texas. In Texas, we've got four different divisions. The shed division, the lifestyle structure division is one. We also there produce cabins, log cabins, large log cabins. We don't do that here in California, though.
Interesting. You have them shipped out if they...
Well, only into those states because, once again, we run up against the building code and building safety. And so there are a lot of differences between Texas, where they don't have earthquakes, and California, where we have a lot of earthquakes.
I'd rather have them than hurricanes any day. Oh, my goodness.
Well, George, did they, let's say going back to a granny house or a granny home, when you have specs, you know, we like to minimize the number of steps and we'd like to have certain accesses, like maybe even ramps and grab bars inside. I mean, do you accommodate and adapt these homes for older adults and those who might be disabled?
On the ramp, yes. We actually have that as an option for all of our structures. We can provide ramps.
Oh, cool.
Now, as far as grab bars go, that is not something that we have as an option. But if it's something that we need to produce and that we can produce and put onto the structure, we could certainly do that.
So if somebody is listening right now and says, oh, you know, maybe we can build a granny home, how long does it take? They come out and the land has to be flattened out or for a foundation, or how long does all of that in terms of setting things up go, and how long does it take to get a granny home put in?
The actual construction time is very short. It's a matter of 4 to 6 weeks. However, the biggest challenge is the permitting process. That could take many months. If it goes through smoothly, without any hiccup, it'll be 4 months. But if there's some changes that the city require, they can easily extend it out to 6 months, 8 months, even longer.
Wow.
That's kind of long. But, you know, for some of our families here in Santa Clarita and some of our seniors who really want a detached place to live from their family, having a granny home is optimal. And, but taking 6 months is rather long. Have you had trouble in L.A. County or even Santa Clarita trying to get the permitting through?
Yes. We had one instance where it took 12 months and still we're still waiting on permits because the complexity of getting permits, it goes through many different layers within the city. I can't speak to that because it would be somebody from the city would need to be here talking to the different stages and levels that that the permitting process has to go through. So it'll be a bit different if it was just one person, but it goes through multiple different divisions and people who review it for their own area of expertise.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a little disconcerting because, you know, in this day and age, there are a lot of our seniors who are listening right now who will not go to a nursing home. And family is more than willing to, you know, keep them at home. But, you know, like I say, they want a detached area to live. And I've known families that have constructed in some way, and I don't know how they do it, granny homes for their loved ones. But, you know, 6 months is a long time for any of us who are older. And, you know, to expedite that, I wonder if the people at City Hall are listening right now to, you know, if there's a designated granny home being built, that we get that ball rolling fairly quickly and get the permitting done so we can get started on it and get the construction done. Because if the construction takes 6 weeks or so, but the permitting takes 6 months, that's a long time for our seniors.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's unfortunately, it's out of our hands. And I know that Sacramento is pushing the cities throughout California to help with the housing shortage, and you know they've created obviously a website for individuals who have issues to go to, but the cities themselves, they are either supportive of it or not. If they're not, they make it very difficult. I had an example, and the issue is that the cities, and I'm not calling out Santa Clarita here, because obviously we deal across, all of California. In one instance, the city made up a new rule about the width of the road leading up to the house, saying it wasn't wide enough. This is the challenge, is this, you know, having the cities all agree, I guess, to being on board and helping, as opposed to putting obstacles in the way or creating new obstacles, because that is what I have seen, is the new obstacles seem to pop up. And there's been no history of some of these challenges in the past. And so it's, there's very little more that I can say on that. It would have to be something that the individual cities would have to speak about.
Okay, Gene, you got another job, kid.
Yeah.
Got another project.
Another law to get out there and change the idea of moving forward and, you know, utilizing the fact that our seniors don't want to go to nursing homes, and we should expedite construction of granny homes through expediting the permits. So we'll work on that, Bart.
There's one other point that, I just want to mention here is, this is really what we're talking about is any structure over 120 square feet. And that, and I mean any structure, not even what we're talking about, it requires a permit in California. That is also part of the challenge. Whereas Texas, it's 200 square feet. Any structure under that does not require a permit, nor Arizona, nor Virginia. So that makes it very tough here in California as well.
Mm-hmm. Let's change the criteria. That's what we're saying, George.
I'm all for that.
Mm-hmm. We're on your side.
Okay, well, how do people get in touch with you, and where are you located?
Well, we're located in off Sand Canyon 14 Freeway behind Denny's. Otherwise, my direct line is 661-927-0988. So that's my direct line. So if you call that number, you will get hold of me.
Terrific. Sand Canyon and 14 Freeway.
Yep.
That sounds easy to get to in both areas. Well, I'm so glad you were able to join us today, and hopefully we'll see you again soon.
You will.
Thank you very much.
Been a pleasure. My pleasure.
Wonderful.
Great info. Thank you.
Wonderful. Okay. Take care and have a good day.
Okay. You too.
All right. Bye-bye. I'm Barbara Cochran with my co-host, Dr. Jean Doria, on your hometown station, 98.1 FM, AM 1220 KHTS.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Welcome back to the Senior Hour. I'm Barbara Cochran with my co-host, Dr. Jean Doria, on your hometown station, 98.1 FM, AM 1220 KHTS. And our guest now is Adam Laraway from Focus Physical Therapy. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
It seems just like yesterday that we saw
Welcome,
you.
Adam.
I know, right? Time flies.
Yes, it does, especially when you're having fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely and positively. So,
and you know, Adam, one of the things that we wanted to talk about is, you know, when we have our friends and family members ending up in the hospital, they come out and, you know, they go to the hospital to get care for their illness. But, you know, they're in the bed all the time, and then, you know, they might stay for a few days to a week or two. Adam, what is it, how is it, and what are the things that our seniors and their family members or caregivers should do for those just getting out of a hospital setting and trying to work their way back to normal, and the mobility problems they face and the things they can do to get back on their feet?
There's a lot of things that we do. You know, it just depends on, too, how, you know, deconditioned they are coming out of the hospital. You know, so there's kind of two steps. You know, they'll be obviously stable and safe to come out of the hospital, and then a lot of times they will be referred for home health physical therapy first. The reason they do that is if you qualify is you can't either drive yourself to physical therapy or get there, you know, via family member or friends or something like that. And so that's where physical therapy will actually come into the house, you know, and they'll set you up with some kind of basic stuff of just making sure that you're safe in your house so that you don't get, you know, either re-injured or fall or anything like that. So they may, you know, educate you on, you know, pulling up throw rugs that we like to have for decoration, but a tripping hazard, and, you know, just making sure that, you know, if they need like a raised toilet seat or things to make things easier for that transition and getting your strength back. So doing all that stuff. Once you're okay to, you know, get to an outpatient facility, which is what Focus Physical Therapy is, you know, then you're getting to the clinic, and we're assessing some of that same stuff, but we're obviously talking to you about it and having you kind of give us feedback of what your home situation is like. But the biggest thing is just making sure people are safe so that they're not going to fall, they're not going to trip. And then we get working. We figure out on the first visit, you know, kind of what their deficits are. Is it a strength issue? Is it an endurance issue? You know, and then we set up a program to go from there. So a lot of times it's, as we always talk about, you know, the core strength when you're laying in a bed gets weak. And if your core strength's not there, you know, getting up out of bed, getting up out of a chair can be a real challenge. And so that's kind of where we will start off with, is trying to kind of figure out what the deficits are, what you're having problems with, you know, at home. You know, I always like to ask, you know, my patients on the first visit, you know, well, what's your goal for physical therapy? You know, because, I mean, obviously I have my goals, but if they're not your goals, then you may not want to come. So, yeah. You know, we try to cater to what they need to get back to, whether it be, you know, playing tennis or going for a walk or, you know, walking their dog. So we have to really kind of cater it to what their needs and what their current or their previous level of care or their previous level of activity look like, and trying to get them back to that.
You know, one of the problems when people get out of the hospital, they are deconditioned, and it just depends on the degree that one was conditioned when they went in.
Exactly.
One, and secondly, how much they laid in bed in the hospital setting. I get home health and the physical therapy, the occupational therapy to come in, but many of my patients are extremely debilitated at times, and I tell them to do bed exercises, things like that.
Yeah.
What kind of things in a bed setting in a home setting, when you're in bed, that what are the things that you can do to improve your core and improve your strength to be able to soon transfer out of bed and start moving around a little bit better?
Well, definitely getting your hip strength and your core strength working is really important. You know, being able to do a bridge, you know, just so that, you know, shifting in bed is where the bridge really comes in handy. You know, if you need to be able to scooch over in bed, you got to be able to do a, what's called a bridge, where your legs are bent and you push down through your feet to kind of lift your hips up and move yourself over in bed. You know, having some core strength as well to do what we call log rolling, which is really the best way to get in and out of bed, is rotating on your side and then using kind of the weight of your legs to drop off the edge of the bed as you push up with your arms to get yourself up. That puts the least amount of pressure on your spine. And, you know, it just is the easiest way to kind of use leverage to get you up, you know, into a seated position. You know, it really depends on kind of what muscles are weak. You know, I mean, we give what's called straight leg raises, where you're lifting the straight, you know, the legs straight, you know, and keeping your core muscles tight. You know, you can sometimes just, you know, sliding your legs out to the side and back, you know, which called hip abduction, you know, with the resistance of the sheets of the bed is enough to really kind of work on some of those muscles. But, you know, your core and your hips are really kind of your center that helps you get up and get moving. So that's probably where I would start.
And, you know, one of the things I do is I, when I can, when the person has a hospital bed especially, I try to get them a trapeze so they can use that, not just for transferring, but for exercising as well. For those who don't know what a trapeze is, you know, it's a rectangular, looks like one of those things you use when you're shooting pool or billiards. You know, the balls go into it and it lines them all up, but it's attached to a chain which is over the patient, and you can grab onto it.
Yeah.
And you can do exercises utilizing that.
Yeah, and absolutely. Using the upper body is really good as well, you know, to be able to help yourself up. Sometimes that makes a huge difference. If you're in a hospital bed, you've got the arms of the bed that can help with that as well. So there's a lot of different things you can do. We do, you know, give bands for different exercises to work on upper body strength, which are really easy to do in your bed. You're not, you know, slugging around a weight or anything like that, so that makes it really easy. But the resistance of the band can really give you some good resistance to help to build up some of that strength. And the other thing I like to do is just have people get up. You know, I mean, sometimes I'll tell them, like, I want you to get up and walk to the kitchen, you know, every hour. And, you know, maybe that's, you know, 10 feet, maybe that's 50 feet, but just getting up and frequently trying to develop and get back to, you know, some of that endurance is really crucial, you know, because, you know, I'm sure you know, is we don't want, you know, people laying around too much because, you know, there's a risk of pneumonia and stuff like that. You don't get all the same circulation and clearing those fluids and stuff and puts you at more risk for getting back in the hospital. So getting up and get moving is probably the most important.
Well, that's what I experienced. I spent the last week at Henry Mayo.
Yeah.
And what a mess
it
really was.
Yeah.
I didn't care for it at all. I really didn't. But because every time I get out or sit up, that thing at the bottom would go beep.
They were watching.
And they'd almost come running in. Like, what, is everything all right? Yes, I just want to go to the bathroom, please.
And did you have physical therapy in the hospital, Barbara?
No. Nope.
They didn't send anybody?
No. Nope.
Really?
They're sending it home.
Oh, okay. I would have thought they would have had somebody come in. They usually, to get discharged from the hospital, you usually got to get cleared by physical therapy that you can get up and get moving around.
No, they didn't surprising. Do that. They didn't do that.
Huh.
And I was on Medicare and Anthem Blue Cross, and that's where all the money's going. But the therapy person over at the hospital came over to see me yesterday. And said someone would be out here today at 4 o'clock for physical therapy. And I thought, oh, no.
Well, don't sound too excited.
My kids have been staying with me, and they won't let me get up by myself.
Okay.
They assist me up in that thing next to you.
Yep, the walker. I saw that. new equipment we got in here today.
Well, that was from Jerry. She changed it and gave me this one so I could sit down on it. But I don't want to sit down on that. I want to be able to walk by myself.
Yeah.
And my kids say, Mother, you just have to take it easy and do it one step at a time.
Correct. But it is good for you to get up and walk. You just got to make sure you're paying attention to your energy levels, you know,
because
this does
true.
Build up that stamina. So it is good for you to get up, and it is good to have you know, your kids keeping after you to make sure you're safe.
Yes, well, they walk behind me or beside me the whole time.
Yep, there
you go. So
that's okay, but you're doing the walking.
That's right, and we've been outside a couple of times
nice.
Since I've been home, walking up and down the street.
Wonderful.
You know, so I've been getting the exercise,
good.
Which is what I need.
Yeah, that sounds like you're doing all the right things,
yes,
so that's good.
So far, so good. Well, I've thought many times about the things you have talked about.
Right, yeah.
And I, you know, it's gone back in my head, like, yeah, that's what he said too. You know, whoa.
Yep.
So you've been in a good place in my heart.
That's good. That's good. Exactly. That's what I aim to do, you know, trying to help as many people as possible.
Well, that definitely has helped me. It really has.
Wonderful. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. I was so glad to hear that you were coming on today. I thought, good, I can tell him.
Yeah.
What I've thought about many times.
Absolutely, yeah. And so then, you know, right now, you know, Barbara, we're using the walker, and it's nice to have the one with the chair, because if you get tired, you can sit down, take a break for a minute.
That's right.
You know, but then transitioning from that, you know, then, you know, probably going to a cane, which gives you a little bit of more what they call proprioceptive input. So even though, you know, most people, they say, oh, I don't want a cane, it's a hassle. But it's amazing how just that little bit of input through
That's
the cane
right.
in your arm makes a big difference for your balance, you know, and really can help.
Well, it's interesting because watching how Russ used the walker, and he went from a cane to a walker.
Yeah.
But I still have his cane at home, which that's what I'm going to start using.
Yep.
On a you know, every once in a while basis until I get myself
Absolutely.
Straight.
Absolutely, yeah, and that's where physical therapy comes in too. You know. When we're working with patients and they say are on a walker, you know, and then we have canes in the clinic, but if they have their own, they can bring their own in, and we can work on some of that stuff and making sure that, you know, they have it on the right side and it's adjusted to the correct height and all that type of stuff is really, really important. You know, I hate to think how many times I have patients come in and it's not adjusted for the right height or they've got it on the wrong side, you know, and then when we kind of explain to them why we want it on the side we want it, it makes a huge difference. You know, they notice it right away.
Well, I'm hoping when the therapist comes over today that he can look at that and help adjust it for me if, you know, if it needs to be. I really haven't used it except from that there to in here.
Oh, okay,
Because Jerry gave me the different one.
Yep.
The other one didn't have a seat on it, didn't have four wheels.
Oh, right, yeah.
So it was a little bit awkward to use.
Yeah. Walker's definitely, it's not the most convenient thing because it does tie up your hands, and so then if you know, need to carry something, say, from the kitchen to the counter or to the table, it makes it a challenge. And so, you know, one of the benefits of having the one with the chair is you could put what you got on there on the chair and then take
exactly
it to the place.
Exactly right. Otherwise, my daughter has to carry it, or my son has to carry it, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, no. But so far so good. I'm getting along.
That's perfect. That's wonderful.
And
going in the right direction.
Yes, absolutely.
Barb, the most important thing though about your mobility right now is that prior to going into the hospital, of course you didn't know that you were gonna be going into the hospital, but prior to going you were in good shape. And that's one of the things I think, Adam, we should talk about is, you know, staying in reasonable shape, especially if you know you're going to have hip surgery or some kind of elective surgery that you will have to recover from. You know, that's important. But it's also important to be in good shape in a situation like yours, Barb, where you didn't know you were going to go in. But,
I sure didn't.
You're here now. You're in the studio. And I think that's because your core strength and your regular mobility, your daily mobility, and your walks every day made a big difference in, being able to get you where you are right now.
I think so too. And going to the gym.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Cause I would go to the gym and swim.
And don't you have a recumbent bike that you do at home sometimes?
A bike, yes.
Yeah, recumbent bike, yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
Oh, yes. So all those things definitely paid off and helped for sure. Absolutely.
Oh, I'm sure they did. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they did.
Yeah, one of the things that, you know, we used to do a lot when I've been a PT for 22 years, but we used to do a lot of what they called prehab. You know, patients knew they were going to have surgery and, you know, they would come in for physical therapy beforehand and get stronger going into the surgery. And I think that really actually helped on the flip side of the surgery, you know, on the outcomes, mm-hmm. because they were stronger going into it. And, you know, I think due to insurance limitations and stuff like that over the years, they've kind of gotten away from that. We don't really see prehab anymore. But I'll tell you, I think it was a big benefit, you know, and doing some exercises. So that's, you know, kind of, I guess, you know, going into this being strong like you were doing the right things, and that should pay off, you know, on the flip side of it.
Well, I they wouldn't let me get out of bed for a long time.
Yeah, that's tough.
You know, I hated using those little things that are this size, and I'm thinking, no, no. But I had no choice. I had to use them.
Yep.
Until I insisted, no, I need to get out of bed.
Yep.
Well, not until we get help for you. Okay, well, okay, if necessary.
Yeah, that's another reason I'm surprised that they didn't have physical therapy come into you in the hospital, because that's one of the best things that we can do is to get you up and get you going to the bathroom and taking you for a little bit of a walk and making sure you're not losing that strength. So,
well, they said they didn't point to anything happening in there.
Huh.
They told me when I get home, the therapist will come out.
Come and see you. Okay.
So.
Yeah, well, it's been 20 years since I did physical therapy in the hospital. So when I was my first job, I worked at UCLA for just under 3 years, and we had to cover a couple holidays a year for the day-to-day acute care therapist. So I did do some acute care early on in my career, but I haven't done it for 20 years. So it could be a while.
I was over in the UCLA section. Over here.
Yeah,
because all of my doctors were UCLA,
uh-huh.
you know. So.
Yep.
Very interesting. So, but anyway, I have another doctor appointment with a doctor I've never been to before. Dr. Terracino. Is that what it is, Gene?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep, Dr. Joseph Terracino. Great doctor.
Yeah, he came into the room a couple of times, and I didn't recognize him. So Dee Dee's taking me today, and she said, well, you're going to be meeting him and being treated by him, and pretty soon you'll recognize him. So, so.
Quite an experience for you, Barb.
I'm sorry?
I said it's quite an experience for you.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think we need to take a break. Okay, I'm Barbara Cochran with my co-host, Dr. Gene Doreau, on your hometown station, 98.1 FM, AM 1220 KHTS.
Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Welcome back to the Senior Hour. I'm Barbara Cochran with my co-host, Dr. Gene Doreau, on your hometown station, 98.1 FM, AM 1220 KHTS. And we have you, Adam Laraway, Focus Physical Therapy.
Yep.
And you have a busy business.
We do, yeah. We have a really busy business. We're trying to help as many people as we can. And so we've got four therapists now. We've got three physical therapists and one PT assistant. And, we're super excited. Everybody, we got a good team over there that really, really good vibe. And we like to do a lot of fun things and get the patients involved. So
everybody works together.
We do. Yeah. The way our clinic is set up, we have a couple private treatment rooms, but then we have kind of our open area that's like the gym / where all the treatment tables are. So we're all open working together. And, you know, it's kind of funny. People are, I guess, I don't know if eavesdropping is the right word, but we're all kind of interacting. You know, we are all sometimes laughing and chuckling because people are talking about different things. And so, yeah, it's a really nice environment, you know. And for us, Medicare, you have to have what's called line of sight. So make sure we're in compliance. So we have a big open area and, yeah.
Line of sight.
Line of sight, yes.
You have to see everybody.
Exactly, yep.
Hmm, that's interesting.
Yep.
Yeah, and for doctors, it's called face-to-face.
Oh, there you
face
go.
Face to face.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We have to, you know, when we, especially for narcotics, you know, when we prescribe them, we have to be face to face. So, but, you know, Adam, you run a good show over there. But the show, when you come on with us, I think makes a huge difference. And, yes. So many of my patients, will go to the hospital and come out, and like Barb did, and, but, you know, Barb went in pretty good shape, comes out in pretty good shape.
Yep.
So we just remind our listeners.
Yep.
Yeah, we remind our listeners that they got to, you know, stay in good shape. So how does our listeners get a hold of you? What's your phone number and your address?
Our phone number is 661-255-4205, and our address is 25050 Peachland Avenue. We're suite 205, so we're actually just above Valencia Pharmacy off of Lyons. And we have a website. It's www.focusptscv for the Santa Clarita Valley.com. And, yeah, it's got all of our information on there, and we're happy to chat and answer any questions if people have any questions or concerns regarding therapy.
And now the suite number again?
205.
Oh, 205.
Yep. So that's 255-4205. Adam Laraway from Focus Physical Therapy. Thank you again for being on the show. You always bring us great information.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
We are sponsored by Comfort Keepers in Home Care, Providence Holy Cross Medical Center, and Hestia Med Spa. Listen to us next week on the Senior Hour. Now go and enhance your quality of life.
Woohoo!